Today's episode is my appearance on the Content Callout Podcast with Mark Raffin. You're going to learn about how much content should we really be putting out. Text me your favorite part from today's episode at 949-298-2905. You can always email me at david@dmeltzer.com. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. It's not what you say, it's what they hear. Keep practicing clarifying your message. If you can articulate the value and share that value with someone, you will be successful with your brand, product, service, or solution.
I love that you said that. And you've got some amazing training going on right now with your free training Fridays that you speak about this stuff in your training. What's that all about? Let's start right there.
I really appreciate that because that's what my life's about, is empowering over a billion people to be happy. Notice I said over, I don't limit myself. Over a billion people to create a collective consciousness of happiness. Happiness is the cure-all. It strengthens ourselves emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, and financially. It spreads. It's the most viral of all viruses. It spreads simply by witnessing it. It'll even strengthen your immune system. So I've been training people for 20 years, started in sales, but I've moved, especially the last 3.5 years, to specifically training people on how to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. It's called the Road to Revenue and Happiness. It's free. Everybody come join me. I'm trying to create a collective consciousness of happiness.
I love it, man. I love what you're doing. I think it's amazing. I want to dive into a couple of questions I have around what you said around content, because oftentimes with marketers, I have these discussions. They're like, well, like, how much is too much? How much volume is too much volume when I put it out there? How do I make a decision between quality and quantity? And is there this distinction that we need to make?
That is the golden question. And I know I got my boys on here taking notes, so they better send this out because this is the message and the lesson for the week. I have nailed this down. You know, I love breaking things down, not only pragmatically, but energetically, spiritually, whatever. Here's the problem. Most people don't understand how big the market is. So what you need to do is you need to create as much of yourself. I don't call it quality content. I don't call it organic. I don't call it authentic. I call it yours. Right? Don't vote for what other people want. Don't vote for what you think other people want. Vote for what you are, right? If you are an expert at getting rid of toenail fungus, then you should be putting out as much toenail fungus content every single day that you can, as much as you can, 7 days a week on all different platforms. Of course, you're going to be smart about how you capture it, how you modify it for each of the platforms, how you amplify it on each of the platforms. But remember, it's perpetual. So create a perpetual strategy on how you're going to accelerate and allow that to exponentially grow and even monetize it if you want. But here's what happens, my friend. Here's the lessons that I want all my boys to take notes of, all the girls to take notes of. Here's why people won't succeed. It keeps growing. People keep trying to build their own brand. There's 1.4 million podcasts. There'll be 2.8 next year. I promise you. But most of them are going to quit. And the reason that they quit is very simple. In order to be successful, you got to put a shitload of you out there, a ton of you out there. Now, here's what happens. The people who already love you, like you, and don't like you, they're going to get sick of you. And they're going to tell you, stop. Who do you think you are? They're going to laugh at you. They're going to scoff at you. They're going to make fun of you. And in your mind, you're going to say, oh, I can't do this. I should stop. I can't. Yes. And you're not either going to put out enough content because you're embarrassed. You're going to vote for what they want, the ordinary, instead of being extraordinary and not listening to what they want. I'll give the best piece of advice that I've given all week. And it's Thursday, by the way. I'm not going to say all week tomorrow because my trainings, those free trainings will get better advice than this. But I'm telling you right now, unsubscribe the people who like you, love you, already like you, already love you. Unsubscribe those people and the people that don't like you, because you can always resubscribe those people after you put out enough content to annoy even your mom.
I love that. I love that strategy. And you know what? I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand that they have value, right? You talked about the guy that has the toe fungus business or whatever it might be. And that really relates to like that lady that started Dr. Pimple Popper. Like I remember her episode starting like years ago where she was putting out this YouTube content. She's a dermatologist. She wanted to grow her business. She found a way to put out content on YouTube. And now she's got her own show.
Yeah, I submitted some content. I had an ingrown hair on my back and several people in my office wanted to come. A couple did. They wanted to video it and they love that stuff. And I thought they were absolutely insane. I laughed at them, scoffed at them, but then they showed me Dr. Pimple Popper and that's exact case study. Just like the lady that opens the kids' toys that makes millions of dollars a year.
Yes.
Right? People don't get it. Now, think about it in that context. This is a dermatologist. She has clients that love her, right? She has a community. She makes a lot of money. I'm sure she has family. Imagine at first when she's putting out a ton of popping pimples, what her family, friends, and then imagine the people that don't like her, what yes. they're saying. So either manage their expectations, unsubscribe, or don't care, but you got to get past the people who love you, like you, and don't like you.
Yeah. You've got something that you call stage theory to capture, modify, and amplify your messages. What is stage theory?
So Shakespeare came up with it. I can't take credit for it. Someone may have remembered
this. Shakespeare guy, I don't know.
Yeah, this Shakespeare. he's like Disney. He's one of the kings of content, and he's still alive in everyone's hearts and minds and souls today because he's the king of content, just like Disney is. I always say, why did Disney freeze himself? He's never going to die. His 470 million views of the Mickey Mouse Club on YouTube is proof, yes. right?
Yeah.
Who needs that body, right? Unbelievable. So the stage theory says, just like Shakespeare, the whole world is our stage. And so in other words, if my content, my frequency, my authentic self is me, and I'm the pimple popper or the toenail fungus or the wrapper of toys, whatever you are, and everybody has their extraordinary ability. And now that we have the ability to reach 4.4 billion people and growing on the internet, that ability now has spectrum, right? It has spectrum. You know, when you had just your little town, you didn't have enough spectrum. You may not have known your avatar, or your lookalike, but you didn't have spectrum. You didn't have the reach. And no matter how strong the signal was, you only get to the 300,000 people in your county. Now you get to 4.4 billion people. So it's so important to figure out what's the best part of Dave Meltzer to capture. Now, after I capture the best parts of Dave Meltzer, how do I modify Dave Meltzer to fit into all the different platforms? Because Dave Meltzer doesn't look the same on LinkedIn as he does on TikTok or Instagram or on an email, right? Or in person or on a stage or on the radio or by a text, right? All these different, I got to capture, but then I modify what I capture from blogs to Twitter feeds to long videos on YouTube. All you got to modify, then amplify. What does that mean? You got to have a marketing strategy for each of those platforms, in person, on the phone, via email, radio, print, TV, social media, blogs. All of them need their own amplification strategy. And then finally, where at very few benefits of being old, right? Dummy tax is one of them, situational knowledge, advice, hair on my back. Those are all advantages of getting old. But one of the advantages is that I know how to traditionally market. And what I know that's different than most young people, because I've lived a long time, dramatic advantage other than I've lived a long time, is that I know the perpetual nature and value of content. I will give you an example. I have a garage full of vintage cards, sports cards, basketball, football, baseball cards. Because everyone's staying at home during COVID, these cards have increased in value. Now, I bought them as a little kid. My uncle probably gave me some. Other people gave me some, right, as gifts. I remember I went to K&B Outlet and they made the mistake at the toy store outlet. They thought that the old sets, the entire sets of cards weren't worth as much because they were old. And somebody put them out on the clearance for $5 a set. So I grabbed a bunch of those. Well, why is this important to my lesson? Because the last part of stage theory is to perpetuate your content. Mm. Because if I didn't perpetuate and know that a Dr. J card, right, would be worth so much money today.
Card game's so hot right now.
So
everything's
hot.
Come back. Yeah.
Well, guess what? 20 years from now, the Dave Meltzer game is going to be so hot right now. Because there's a bunch of kids like you that are going to remember that I did this for them, right? And they're going to remember how I planted a seed that I may never sit under, and it kept watering, and all of a sudden they're more interested than interesting. They're taking inventory of their values, student of their calendar, doing it now, practicing ending fear, whatever the thousands of pieces of advice that I gave. And now they're my age going, oh my God, it'd be worth so much to have the legendary Dave Meltzer come speak at my multi-billion dollar company, because I wouldn't have a multi-billion dollar company but for Dave Meltzer. The same way I look at my Dr. J card and go, oh my gosh, he has such a big place in my heart.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
right?
Preach. That's fantastic. Perpetual. I love it.
And if you at your age can think about, there's going to be kids someday that are going to go back and watch this stuff, just like they started binge watching Netflix shows. It's going to happen, my brother. So capture, modify, yes. amplify and perpetuate. Remember Shakespeare, honor him to promote yourself with the stage theory.
There's going to be people watching this that go, okay, this is all great and well, Dave, but I'm so busy. I don't have time. Everything is going on. One of the things that you talk about is be a student of your calendar. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I don't believe in busy. I think that you want to ask somebody, I believe in active, right? Active is energy in motion, emotion, right? And you got to have emotion to be enthusiastic. Enthusiastic is connected to God, source, energy, and light, and love, and lessons. So F you if you're too busy for listening to me. But let me teach you how not to be busy. Let me teach you how to have activity to be paid for, an activity not to be paid for, and to get the most out of life. So there is a mathematical equation of luck that is created by your calendar. Forget E equals MC squared, because most of us really don't even know what that means. I'm going to give you an equation that will change your life, a mathematical equation to change your life. It's the mathematical equation of luck. Attention plus intention equals coincidence or luck. So what I'm going to teach you right now is to use your calendar to give intention, to pay attention to, and give intention to the aggregate of what you think, say, do, believe, and your unconscious competencies of your personality, your characteristics, obsessions, and addiction, all aggregated to create a coincidence you want. So what do? First of all, we study our calendar, right? Attention plus intention of what we have planned. Then we study what we don't have planned. There's empty space, blank space, white space in our calendar. Study that space of what we don't have planned and study your sleep. A third of your life is spent sleeping. It's the number one habit we all share. It also is the only time that we actually can increase our vibration and start the next day by plateauing and growing instead of living the myth of Sisyphus where he pushes a boulder to the top of the hill just right to allow it to roll down the next morning. That's how most people live their life, all those busy people. And I'm an active person, an emotional person. So I have activity I get paid for, activity I don't get paid for. Now, here's the kicker. Use these lenses to study your calendar and you will exponentially accelerate and grow. You will be not only productive, but you will be efficient and statistically successful according to the inventory of your values that you take every day. So take inventory of your personal experiential giving and receiving values. Use that as a baseline when you study your calendar with these three lenses. One, a lens of productivity. Study what you have planned, what you don't have planned in your sleep, of how productive you can be, meaning how much value can you provide? That's really simple. And quantify it, right? Time, resources, and money. These are all quantified things that you can do. Quantify and study with the lens of productivity. The second lens is a bifocal. One lens of accessibility is how accessible am I to others? Right? I make myself accessible to others. All types of content, of course, all types of platforms, of course, but I also have a 520 rule, right? All of my phone calls, I have an objective to reach my objective within 5 minutes. All of my interviews, meetings, et cetera, to reach my objective within 20 minutes. This is a rule that allows me to be more efficient, more accessible. And then most importantly, the other side of the bifocal of accessibility is how am I accessing what I want? Most people have a problem receiving. They don't ask, do you know anybody that can help me? Most people think, those busy people, they think there's a ton of gatekeepers out there in their way. Me, the active person, the guy who has activity I get paid for, I see everyone like you as a sponsor of mine. Do you know anybody that can help me? Can you get your audience to come to my free trainings? I see you as a power sponsor. You'll come to my trainings and invite other people to come to my trainings. Everybody's a power sponsor or a sponsor. So use that lens of accessibility to complement the lens of productivity. And then finally, most importantly, the lens of gratitude. The lens of gratitude dictates, number one, that you know there's suck in everything. Part of your job sucks. Part of my job sucks. Part of the Hall of Famers that I work with, the entertainers, celebrities, athletes, and billionaires, all parts of their lives, certain parts suck. But you know what they do? Not only do they have a common denominator that must be what they can be, but more importantly, they have a lens of gratitude. They're constantly looking to see, where's the light in this? Where's the love in this? Where's the lessons in this? And if you seek the light, the love, and the lessons, if you clear the interference and corrosion that exists between you and the most powerful source of energy, the most powerful source of lessons and love and light and source that you can come, if you use that lens to seek that, I promise you, you will be more effective, efficient, and statistically successful. You will make more money, help more people, and have more fun, and you won't call yourself busy anymore.
Powerful, powerful stuff. One of the things that you said there really piques my interest, and I think this is one of the major failings of a lot of sales and marketing people, is that they have a problem with receiving. They have a problem with asking. Where does that come from? Why do we feel that way?
It's so funny, right? The two things that change most people's lives you learn before kindergarten. Say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up and ask. Those are things my grandma taught me. I can't remember how long ago my grandma taught me. Ask for what you want and say thank you. I could train billions of dollars of salespeople. Ask for what you want and say thank you. And in other words, there's two things that you ask for. One, how you can be of service and value. That's easy. That's giving. But I give a simple philosophy. And the way that I ask is to ask questions or a series of questions to determine, do you know anybody that can help me? Do you know anyone that can help me? Hey, I have a free training to change the world. I'm going to empower over a billion people to be happy. Do you know anyone that can help me? Can you help me? Right? It's so easy. People don't ask. I literally could put together, if you're a salesperson, I do these trainings, free trainings. I have private groups about sales. I have one-on-one. I guarantee profitability, especially to salespeople, because there's no doubt just on the mathematical side of being able to stay enjoying consistent, everyday, persistent pursuit of your potential, whatever compensation, revenue plan, whatever you're looking at. I can change your world in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, and social media, just by teaching you to consistently ask and teaching you how to ask every day. That's why you should be reaching out to me.
These principles have been taught in a bunch of different philosophies since the beginning of time, right? Whether you're from Judeo-Christian background or a Buddhist background or an Islamic background, this whole concept of ask and thou shalt receive has been taught since the beginning, and yet no one is paying attention. No one is paying attention to it. And what I love about what you're doing is you're saying to people, look, it's here. Here's the knowledge. Ask. End of note. That's it. Go and ask, and you will receive. And the more that you ask, the more that you will receive. But you've also got to be grateful for that reception. And then give. Give to other people. And you've got this thing where you call yourself a ferocious Buddha. And I love that about you, because there's this dichotomy exists that you're ferocious in the business world, but you also believe in gratitude and you believe in giving and you believe in inner peace and harmony and all of those things. And they can coexist. And for a lot of people, I feel like they hit loggerheads and they believe for whatever reason, these two things can't coexist. For those people that are struggling with that, what would you say to them?
Yeah, you are with the majority for sure. And unfortunately, the practice of ending fear is one in which most people don't want to take on. They'd rather live with a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, fear superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, worried, resentful, guilty. If you take the time, money, and resources that you've wasted and accelerated in the wrong direction with those things, it may motivate you, transfer you, and inspire you to be a ferocious Buddha. Because it can change your life. You know, I tell a story about my daughter, her car not being outside and how that could have changed my life. Let me give you the new one. And hopefully my boys are taking notes, because I thought of it this morning. I could take the simplest things in life and show you how it can either put you in the trajectory you want to go to, knowing your what, not your why. Everybody knows your why. Everybody wants to help somebody or something. Know your what. Take inventory of your values. Don't be afraid of being a hypocrite. Know what you want every day. Don't be afraid of changing what you want. That's fine. You could angle to something new tomorrow, but you keep progressing. In other words, pursuing your potential. But here's the deal. I sit down on the toilet this morning. Okay?
You got me.
I'm going to love it, man. I sit down on the toilet and I am like a clock, right? I'm over 50, but I'm proud to say I'm like a clock. And I got to do the number two. And I do the number two. You're going to like this story. Trust me, it's not going to make people cry. My daughter's story makes people cry, right? I'm not telling this one. This is a Dave Meltzer exclusive, first time telling the story. So I look over after I do my business and there's no toilet paper. Okay, I'm sure some of you who have siblings or spouses have run into this circumstance. Even worse, you know, I wake up at 4 a.m. I saw that my wife had been and used the same facility and left me with no toilet paper. Okay.
You were set up. You were set up.
Now, this is an instance for the ferocious Buddha, because I go into ego-based consciousness and I'm about to get up and yell, where the F is the toilet? How could you, right? I've been married 23 years. You blah, 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 blah. This is very common in relationships. And then I look at it and I say to myself, the amount of energy and where that's going to accelerate my day in my relationship, how that's going to make her feel. All of these things that it's going to take, stop. I started to breathe. And I said, the easier solution than yelling obscenities to my wife and degrading the person who's most important in my life, who has to save my life and change my life and has given me children and supported me and my children and is a superpower in my life, even though she forgot to replace the toilet paper and was selfish this morning. A snapshot. So I breathe like a Buddha. So I'm ferocious about stopping, not saying and accelerating, which could have led to a horrible day. Anybody that has a relationship with family, friends knows what happens when we start attacking, putting judgments, even though someone's made a mistake, instead of using what? The golden means of unwinding the untruth, which is forgiveness. So I went to forgiveness and I breathed through my nose and my mouth. And I said, you know what? It's a lot less energy to go ahead and do the penguin walk over to the girl's room and grab a roll myself, right? And so that's what I did. Like everybody else, I did the penguin walk with my pants below on my ankles into the room. I grabbed the roll and everything turned out fine. And guess what? When my wife woke up, I didn't say a word.
You're a good man, David Meltzer. You're a good man.
Forgiveness saved me. But if you use the ferocious Buddha mentality, and it, trust me, it is ferocious to not yell at my wife. How dare you? You've all been there. I've had an extraordinary day. She has no clue until she watches this video that she's done this to me. You know, so please, everyone, think about in sales how we take people and customers and we have a point to prove, a need to be right, a need to be offended. Right? I had all those needs, right? When I'm looking for toilet paper, trust me, I had a lot of needs to be separate. Be worried and frustrated and angry. But what did I do? I turned it into a sale, right? I turned it into a sale, a higher vibration for the day, more value for the day for me and for her. And now for you, right? I've gotten more value out of it instead of with far less energy than it would have taken arguing all day with her. Because the minute I went and attacked her, she would have told me the time that I did something like that to her. Guaranteed. And the list start going on. And we do the same thing with our family, our friends, and worse, our customers. And we wonder why we're not getting what we want from them, because we're not seeking what we want from them. I sought the light, the love, and the lessons in it, not what I didn't want out of it, which is blame, shame, and justification. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you'd like. My only ask is you help me empower others to empower others to be happy.